We believe that talk radio means you get to talk, too, with people you know from right here. It is 12:32. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn.
I'm Diane.
Thank you so much for joining us and for connecting with us today. Yesterday, news came down that Governor Quinn has banned the death penalty. He signed the bill that bans the death penalty. We talked about this yesterday, and my initial reaction was that I was very upset. Mm-hmm. I was upset that the worst of the worst criminals will not have to face death, that the worst they can face is life in prison. And, you know, I was having a hard time dealing with that. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to call Jeremy Schroeder. And Jeremy is on the phone with us now. Jeremy is the executive director for the Illinois Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. And we thank you for being our guest today, Jeremy.
Oh, thanks so much, Mary Lynn. It's good to be here.
You know, we talked a few months ago when legislation was passed and this bill went on to Governor Quinn's desk, and it took him quite some time to sign the bill. I can imagine you guys were wondering what the heck. Now, how long have you guys, as a coalition, how long have you been advocating for this ban?
Well, over 30 years now. I mean, this is, we've, you know, looked a little different during those 30 years, but it's something that this has been a long road that we've taken, and a lot of it's really been due to making sure we get out the real stories of the death penalty over that 30 years.
You know, and like I said, I was mad yesterday, Jeremy. I was so angry. I thought, wow, you know, what a great day for criminals in Illinois. How do you, I really did. I mean,
I appreciate you sharing that. I don't mean to laugh. I just think that it's something that I understand that reaction.
Right.
But the reality of the death penalty is just so far from that. The reality is that the worst of the worst, you know, don't get the death penalty. You know, we haven't had an execution in over 11 years. And more than that, what really happens with the death penalty is when you're seeking out the worst of the worst, you know, how do you define that? You get all of these other cases mm-hmm. from depending on location, you know, when it happens, the kind of political atmosphere. People get caught up that I think when you hear about it, it's certainly a horrible crime, but not the worst of the worst. And another problem with, you know, the worst of the worst standard, you know, if I was to lose someone in my family or someone else, that would be the worst of the worst. And the fact that we have really set up almost a different level of victim, you know, like if your son or daughter's murdered and that person also murdered your neighbors, they're one of the worst that may get sent up for the worst punishment we have.
Okay.
But if that doesn't happen, then what are we saying to victims? And I think that's something that we need to keep, make sure we keep front and center of the debate, that this should be about, you know, be about the victims and make sure that we're doing what we can to, you know, help them move on in their life and help them, you know, adjust and, you know, do what we can.
Okay. And Jeremy, I know one of the things that, some families of victims yesterday were not happy with the ban of the death penalty. But one of the things that is coming out of this is that the money that would go to, there was a lot of money that would go into a fund to defend criminals that were on death row who wanted a retrial, or is that how it worked? Is that what that money paid for?
No, it wasn't. What happened was the fund was set up because in Illinois' history, with the 20 innocent people found on death row, one of the biggest ways that they got there was they just did not have money to even mount a good defense. If they were lucky enough to get a competent attorney or public defender, they still wouldn't have the funding and the resources to do the test, to run the DNA, to even do the investigation to find that data. And
okay.
So, attempt to fix, you know, a unfixable system, we threw money at it. And we're talking about, you know, at least $20 million a year that was spent. So the Capital Litigation Trust Fund was for this, was for both sides. It was
okay.
for the prosecution as well as the defense to try these cases, because the reality is death penalty cases are so much more expensive than even life without parole cases. And it's in the millions of dollars.
Okay.
So when it comes up to that, it makes a lot more sense to get rid of the death penalty.
I've got a rebuttal to that, but first let me ask,
right.
where will that money go now?
That is going to, and first of all, I always enjoy our conversations, I just got to say.
But, no, we do have good conversation. We can, you know, it's cordial, right?
Exactly. And but to answer your question, it is going to the Criminal Justice Information Authority. They handle the a lot of the federal funding, domestic funding that we get for programs for training law enforcement, as well as offering up victim services. Now, they currently don't offer as much for victims of murder, but the Criminal Justice Information Authority does a lot of the funding for the domestic violence and other, you know, victims of other types of violence.
Okay. So now families who are victims of murder will now be able to get more assistance to help them get through this, get through the loss and get through just the, I can't even imagine what they go through.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that, well, we felt that that made the most sense. Like the, a lot of the cases of wrongful conviction were because of, you know, outdated training methods. So we thought we wanted to make sure that there was funding for law enforcement to, you know, prevent crime from happening.
Okay.
And then also on the other end to make sure that, you know, our victims are taken care of, you know, after the police leave, make sure that they have what they need to really start that process.
Okay. And if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Jeremy Schroeder, and he's the executive director of the Illinois Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. One of the things that you mentioned earlier was that it costs so much money having the death penalty. There's so much money that's involved in trying these folks, right? And in making sure that we do have a right conviction, that kind of thing. But one thing that I've been hearing is that because of the fact that the death penalty will now be off the table, that it's possible that we're not going to save any money because death penalty isn't a sentencing option, so nobody will try and get a plea deal. You know what I mean?
No, that makes sense. And, you know, that's just, we haven't seen that play out in other states. The states that do not have that death penalty have some of the highest rates of plea deals. And actually, states that have abolished death penalty, we've been looking at data from New Jersey and New Mexico, and to be honest, we've actually gotten a couple converts to our side. A couple of the district attorneys, you know, after the fact have said, you know, I haven't seen my rate of plea deals go down. I really haven't seen an honest change since we had the death penalty and since we've gotten rid of it.
Okay. I don't know what to say. I mean, I understand. I mean, it's horrifying to me to know that there are people who were sentenced to death who it was revealed that, no, these guys were not guilty. I am not heartless in this case. What I'm saying is, wouldn't it be better if there was some kind of reform so that it wasn't completely off the table, and that maybe that there were additional criteria that needs to be proved with beyond a reasonable doubt in order for somebody to be convicted? Because there are some guys who are on death row who have now they're going to have life without parole, but some of those guys are guilty. They are guilty of taking another person's life. Don't you think that in those cases that the death penalty should be available?
I don't. I certainly understand where you're coming from. There are some, and don't think that I'm, you know, on the side of those that are on death row. I mean, frankly, they've committed some harsh crimes and they deserve the harshest punishment. I just don't believe it needs to be the death penalty.
Okay.
When you talk about reforms, we're in Illinois. We've studied the death penalty for 10 years. We've enacted reforms, and we've continued to have problems. We've had the Jerry Hobbs case, the Fox case, that, you know, it wasn't within Illinois. Like, they were exonerated and found innocent because of DNA in another state, and that was from an unrelated, you know, luck, basically got them cleared. And when you hear the core of the crimes, you're like, wow, they definitely deserve the harshest penalty we have, and we still get it wrong. When we talk about reforms and, you know, even doing that heightened part of it, I mean, first of all, that's going to cost money that we don't have. But when it comes down to it, we've been trying to do this, and there's frankly a reason that we're one of the few countries in the world that does it, and one of the few, you know, states that actually, you know, uses the death penalty. You know, while in the United States, while most states have the death penalty, there's only a few that actually use it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, It's a tough decision. I mean, it's easy for me to be mad or to not like it. It was the governor who actually ultimately had to make the decision. What was the vibe around your neck of the woods with your coworkers and things there at the Illinois Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty? What were your thoughts yesterday when you heard the news?
Well, I think certainly we were certainly excited, but we're more than that relief. I think it's something that we've waited a long time to see where the governor is, what is going to decide. And I know that he looked at the decision And as our conversation proves, it's really not an easy one. It's something that, you know, for me, it took me some time to get there. And it took learning more about the death penalty and, you know, being thrown into all these hard situations to kind of see that there's no way to fix it. And I think we were just relieved that the governor had taken the time to, you know, consult everybody that he could on the issue, both sides, and come to this decision.
Okay. Jeremy, Diane here. I wondered about the other states, since we're the 16th who have abolished the death penalty. Have you seen any spike in numbers with these heinous crimes for those other states that have abolished the death penalty, too?
No, actually, we see the opposite happen. I mean, I know that it's a little counterintuitive.
It doesn't,
but, you know, even here in Illinois, when we had the moratorium, that was one of the threats. The longer we have it, the more crime is going to go up, and actually the crime has gone down in Illinois since the moratorium. And crime rates have gone down after the death penalty, which is a little bit of counterintuitive if the death penalty were to be a deterrent. One of the things is that what really hit it home for me is one of the newscasts, they asked some folks on the street that deal with gang violence, so, you know, what is this, everybody, and it just kind of, person kind of blinked at the camera like it really has no effect because nobody here understands the law anyway. They really don't get that there's a death penalty. They don't understand what that would mean for them. It's just has not been, I think, the deterrent we had hoped it would be.
Okay. All right. Well, very interesting. I mean, you guys, I know you guys have been working for a number of years to get this accomplished. And I think, I guess I take solace in the fact of knowing even though I wish that it was there for some of the most evil criminals, I wish that they knew that they could at least face it. On the other hand, though, I can't imagine an innocent man or woman being put to death. And unfortunately, we've proven in this state that can happen. Thank goodness for that group of students at Northwestern University who have exonerated, you said 20 people?
Mm-hmm. 20 people, yeah.
20 people. So, I mean, it's kind of a tough thing. What would you say to a family member? Have you ever talked with a family member of someone who, you know, they're a victim of murder? And
mm-hmm. I've talked with both sides. I mean, okay. I would have to say it's the hardest part of my job. I mean, it is something that I think it's unimaginable and frankly, very, very human way for us to imagine what has happened and mm-hmm. what they go through. It's something that, you know, more than anything, we stand for victims. We obviously have, you know, a bias toward the death, being against the death penalty, but we really want to be there for all victims, and hopefully our bill, you know, reflects that. But there is really no wrong way to feel when a family suffers such horrible crime, and we're really just trying to be there for compassion.
Is there any place somebody can go to learn more about what you guys will be doing now for, you know, to help the victims even more now that money won't have to go to helping those on death row?
Certainly. I mean, our webpage, we will be updating it. I mean, we're a little bit behind because we've been a little busy the last couple of days.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a better idea and we'll be sitting down with CJ to work through what that fund will look like.
All right. So just Google the Illinois Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty and you'll find the website. And Jeremy Schroeder is the executive director. And we thank you for taking time out of, I'm sure, what has been a busy day for you today to talk with us and shed some light on the new direction that we're going in Illinois. We appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me on.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Yep. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.